20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to this edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Dan Kotnick. With me today, we're down one amigo in our three amigo trio here. So today it's just me and my buddy Matt Fralick. Matt, how you doing?
Good. I thought we were musketeers, though. Is that inaccurate?
Did we decide on musketeers or amigos?
I don't really know if it was decided. I think it was just a one-time...
The three best friends that anyone has had.
The three barbecue friends.
Well, regardless, we're down Jen today, so it's just me and you. And so if we weren't struggling already to get this podcast off the ground without her, you and I are trying to struggle through. We've got various equipment issues that we're trying to struggle through here, getting our podcast set up. I'm working with my Xbox headset is the stage that I'm at in my podcasting setup right now. Matt, you've done it before, but you're not running that, right? We're just trying to make this work as best we can with what we got.
For sure. And like in a pinch, my 28-year-old ways of still playing video games, which many, let's say my girlfriend wouldn't appreciate. It has, in a pinch, worked. The Xbox headset does work. Any podcasters out there, anyone wanting to do a podcast, you're like, hey, I have an Xbox headset. Like you're honestly like maybe 2/10 of the way there. So in addition, Dan and I were talking and like, yeah, you know, I was about to do laundry, Dan. And I'm like, oh, thankfully I remember that because I have to dump up my hamper that I use with a large pillow inside of it to kind of, you know, buff the sound a little bit. And ironically, you also do the same setup.
Do this very same. And even like down to this circular laundry basket.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what works best. I don't know why. It just seems like it doesn't take much space up on my desk.
I feel like the like a rectangular one, it doesn't fit as well because then you're either putting it at like one end and you've got a huge long side that you're trying to deal with on the other end, or it's sitting right in the middle of it. Like the circular one, it feels just very standish. You're putting it on a pedestal, like it just feels right.
Yeah, and I'm a one pillow guy. It's like a longer pillow. So like if I had, it would have to be like two pillows, and then like it just, I don't think it's going to work out that way. So I'm glad someone else, you know, feels my struggle or the podcast struggle. I think it's, I don't know, just one of the things that it's just, I should go. You know, Shopko actually just closed last week, and I'm sure like they were probably paying me to just take off some sort of apparatus that would have like worked as a microphone hub. Maybe even another laundry basket, but you know, instead I'll just keep using the one I've been using because it just you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Exactly, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, man. And this is the high quality stuff that we put into this podcast. It's what we don't put in on the equipment side, we make up for in the content side.
And that's hopefully the beauty of podcasting, though. Like when you really think about it, like audio, like you know, you work at a radio station, right, Dan?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you don't have to worry about, you know, if you got the makeup on, if your hair's right, if you got the stain on your shirt, like you can, like, for all we know, like maybe we don't have pants on right now. I have shorts on. I'm not going to speak for you, but like, who knows? No one has any clue. We could have a, you know, just a Packer jersey on. I've recorded in a jersey a time or 12.
I can neither confirm nor deny the existence of pants on me at the moment.
Respectable.
Into what we're talking about today, Matt. We're not just discussing the woes of podcasting today. No. We are starting off the Pack-A-Day podcast series about the position groups that the Packers are going to be facing in the upcoming season. We're going to break down the top 10 players from each position group that the Packers are going to face this year. We, thankfully, I think, got the easiest, or at least I think the most intriguing that you can, the most that you can go in depth with it. We're discussing the quarterbacks today because obviously, I mean, the game revolves almost solely around the quarterback. And so if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a team. And really at this point, the team is your quarterback. So really we're discussing almost the top 10 teams that the Packers are going to be facing this year in a way. 13 different quarterbacks, obviously, the Packers are going to be seeing in the upcoming season. So if we're taking the top 10, that means a couple guys are going to be left off of the list. So for you, Matt, I guess let's go down the list here and just look and see who the Packers are actually going to be facing in the upcoming season.
That's a good idea. A little refresher.
So obviously you start off with the Bears, the Vikings, so Mitchell Trubisky, Kirk Cousins. Joe Flacco in week 3 with the Broncos, Carson Wentz in week 4 with the Eagles, Cowboys week 5, Dak Prescott, the Lions in week 6 with Matt Stafford, Derek Carr with the Raiders in week 7, Patrick Mahomes and Philip Rivers in week 8 and 9, Cam Newton in week 10, Jimmy Garoppolo week 12, the Giants week 13 with Eli Manning. Week 14 kind of up in the air. It's between Dwayne Haskins and Case Keenum at this point. I don't know if there's a way that the wind is blowing.
Does that sway your rating, Dan?
It does.
Oh man.
And we'll get into that a little bit when we get to it. Yeah. So and then after that we finish off with the 3 divisional games after that. So repeat those quarterbacks again. So out of those 13, who did not make your list?
I was going to call him honorable mention. I guess it's disrespectful not to. I'll call him honorable mention. So I don't have him ranked at all, but I'm going with Haskins that he's going to be the starter. I put him in the bottom 3. I put Eli Manning down there and also Joe Flacco. I feel like we've done the is Joe Flacco elite thing a couple times.
Right.
Him going to a new offense in Denver with just kind of a young team on the offensive side of the ball, defenses, you don't really know what you're going to get there because they're kind of in a rebuilding era. So those are my bottom 3 in Haskins, Eli, and Flacco. I mean, if I had to throw Keenum in there, I'd still probably consider him a bottom 3. I do like Case Keenum. I just don't think he, I guess, goes above the other top 10 guys I have. What about yourself?
Well, I agree with you on 2 of them.
Okay.
I have Manning and Flacco in my bottom 13, the bottom 3. And this is where the Haskins Keenum split kind of comes into play here, because right now I have Derek Carr in the bottom.
Wow.
The bottom 3.
Okay.
And let's just jump into this then. So we've got our bottom 3. So we're gonna go. Let's start off we'll go 10 through 6, and we'll just kind of rattle them off and dissect them as we go through and look at them as a individual basis later. But Matt, I'll let you take the honors here first. Give us 10 through 6, the top 10 quarterbacks that the Green Bay Packers are going to face this year. Now, I think to clarify, we're basing this all on, or at least mostly on talent,
yes.
Pure talent of the quarterback. So, it doesn't matter who he's really throwing to, the offensive lines or anything like that. This is just the quarterbacks themselves. So 10 through 6, Matt.
See, I actually just made a switch real quick. I'm switching them up. So number 10 is Jimmy Garoppolo. I think coming off that knee injury, he looks good. I would almost rate him higher, Dan, if we're going off of just a strictly offensive production, what you're going to get from him, because I do think with that offense and just the pieces they've tried to put around him, I think the team is going to perform well this year. The Niners, they're trending upward. The defense is going to be really great. Kyle Shanahan's obviously going to, him and Garoppolo, you did see some glimpses of promise last year, but he's my number 10. Actually, he was the one I switched. Dak Prescott is number 9. I like Dak Prescott. I think he's a winner. He showed me a couple things late in the season last year with the Cowboys, but he's my number 9. Number 8 is the one I flip-flop with Garoppolo, and that would be Matthew Stafford. Time and time again, I kind of want to forget about Stafford in the division, let alone the whole NFC, but he's kind of a gamer. I mean, he is going to be losing a weapon or two this year, he's down one weapon. Obviously, Golden Tate gone, and they're going to have to diversify those targets, but he's done a lot with a little, and I don't want to say it's been overly productive, but, I mean, he's a gamer. Number 7, I put Mitchell Trubisky. I know he doesn't come off the page as, this big gunslinger, and it's more of a high tempo offense, and they're just gonna, you know, dink and dunk that 5 to 15 yards, and you're gonna let their guys just run around. But you know, he is quick. The Packers, you know, once in a while will struggle with a mobile quarterback, and I think, you know, coming into his third year, you're only gonna see bigger things from Mitch Trubisky. And the number six, you're probably gonna be shocked. I put Carr. I just think the last maybe year and a half has been just in shambles for the Raiders, and let alone being Carr. He's had the injuries. Last year, you really didn't see him do anything too great coming off of an injury into the 2018 season. He loses Amari Cooper, and that doesn't – I mean, you lose your number one guy. That doesn't do you really any favors. You have a Jordy Nelson who's already banged up and obviously retired now. You know, him and Jared Cook were really, really good last year, but – I do think getting into the offense, I don't think John Gruden's like a great offensive mind maybe in 2019, but I think he is kind of a quarterback guru in a sense. So I think that helps him a little bit. So that does round out my 10 through 6. Dan, what do you got?
So my 10 is the same as yours. I went Jimmy Garoppolo, and I really wanted to put him higher on the list because
I had him at 8, and I just like – I just think his system would almost make him higher than that, but talent-wise, you still don't really know what you have.
Right, and I think that's exactly why, because out of everybody out of this group, except maybe Dwayne Haskins, you don't know what you have there as a starting quarterback. You know, we obviously saw what he did in limited roles with the Patriots, but especially after the ACL tear, you have zero idea of how he's going to operate out there in that system. So he's actually one of the, I was really excited last year when I saw that was the game, or that game was going to be on the schedule for the Packers. You know, obviously it didn't come around, but I really wanted to see how Garoppolo and Rodgers kind of faced off with each other, because I really do think he has the talent. But until we kind of see him, I think you, out of almost like just pure logic, you have to put him at the bottom just because you have no idea what he actually could be there. It's still a high ceiling for him, but that's why I put him at 10. So at 9 is where I have right now the Redskins situation of Dwayne Haskins and Case Keenum, because I'm pretty.
I mean, you could almost throw Colt McCoy and I mean, no, Alex Smith probably might be done, but you could throw Colt McCoy in there. Colt McCoy can play.
No, that's very true.
They're all at the same level.
Right, and then too, with it being the Week 14 game, you really have no idea who you could play at that position at that point, because there could be a really good chance that, you know, Case Keenum starts the season, he gets benched, you know, in Week 4, Week 5, you put Haskins in there, and maybe he just doesn't have it, and then, yeah, you go to Colt McCoy. I mean, you're right, it could honestly be anybody by the time it gets to Week 14. But I'm rolling with the idea that it is going to be Dwayne Haskins, and that we get to see the full rookie season of Dwayne Haskins, or at least most of it. I'm pretty high on him as a pure passer. You can call me out on my Ohio State bias if that's what you need to. I'm subtweeting you, Jacob Westendorf. but I honestly think Dwayne Haskins could be something that we see become something in Week 14, almost kind of like if you remember the rookie season of Cam Newton, and the Packers played them, I think, Week 2 or Week 1. And it was a kind of a situation where people didn't know exactly how to play him yet, and so he was having a lot of success. I think that what you could see out of Dwayne Haskins in this season. So I think there's potential for him there. At number 8, I have Mitchell Trubisky. I'm super low on Trubisky, and it's not just because he's a Bear. I really don't like how he plays. I don't think he's very good. I think he relies a lot on the players around him, almost too much just to make plays for him. I call him a budding Matt Stafford, in my opinion, which might be contradicted by the next couple here, but I have Cam Newton at number 7, just because I think he's still a veteran. He's got a lot of talent, but I mean, there's just way too many injuries, and at this point, he just can't make a lot of the deep throws anymore that I think really helped him out. And in number 6 is where I have Matt Stafford, which kind of contradicts the Mitchell Trubisky drag there. But just like kind of what you said, it's almost just more the mental side of it. Like, he just seems like a baller, and it pisses me off because I hate the Lions and I hate Matt Stafford, but for some reason, every time he comes up against the Packers, he balls out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he just goes to a different level. So that's why I have him at number six. So,
the image I always have in my head about Matt Stafford is like, I don't remember, it was, must have been his sophomore season or third year. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it was. And where he just has the rotator cuff, yeah, and goes in and still throws a touchdown or 2-point conversion. It's like, how do you not, that's the only memory like that's vivid in my head all the time for Stafford. Like, that's the first thing I go to. And like, I just think of that. And like what you're saying, like, he's just a gamer. He's a baller. Like, that's what you're going to get from him.
Yeah, and I mean the talent negates a lot of that because I don't think he's not an elite quarterback, I don't think, and I don't think he's ever going to get to that point because we're kind of at the point of his career where he's not going to become that. So that's why I keep him there. But there has to be something to be said for coming up and, you know, beating the Packers. I mean it's been at least the last 2 years now he's undefeated against the Packers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So just to recap, my 10 through 6, Garoppolo, Haskins / Keenum, Trubisky, Newton, Stafford. Recap us again, Matt, your 10 through 6.
Yeah, I had Garoppolo, Dak, Matthew Stafford, Trubisky, and Carr is number 6. I'm just – Cam Newton, I'm a little disrespect. Maybe I'm biased towards Cam because I've just been always a fan of him, but damn, I don't. He's got a healthy shoulder now, though. Like, I mean, but you could say the same thing for Garoppolo. Like, he is coming off an injury.
I mean,
too,
like, so. It just seems like the last couple of years after the Super Bowl year. And don't get me wrong, like, I love Cam Newton. I'm a huge Cam Newton supporter, and I want to see him do well. But like after that Super Bowl year, it seems like every year there's kind of like one more thing like that where like, oh well, but this year it's different. Like he's like his knee is healthy now. Like he wasn't healthy then, but like his knee is healthy now. And then it was like it's every year. It's like, well, his shoulder is 100%. Let's see what he does with 100%. And then it's like, well, but it's all deteriorated to a point where now it doesn't really matter if he's 100% because he's never going to stay 100% to kind of like,
sure,
you know, stay aggressive for an entire season. And plus, I think he really, if we can just sidetrack for a second, he really has, I think his career as a whole has kind of taken a hit because he really doesn't get the protection that a lot of other quarterbacks are afforded. And I really think it's impacted his career trajectory overall. I think he doesn't get to this point where you're dealing with injuries like this and you're getting knocked down list where if you're getting kind of the same protections and people are avoiding you like they would if it was a different quarterback. If
sure,
that makes sense.
Sure, and it's just the way he plays, too. Sure. I mean, he's a running quarterback. That's, I mean, he started as a running quarterback. He's trying to develop more into a more accurate quarterback. I was doing some fantasy football research already in June, and I've heard a lot about the Carolina Panthers having one of the top-rated offensive lines, so we'll see if that helps. They did upgrade it this year. As far as names, I don't recall them, but he's going to definitely need some protection coming into his 10th year now? 9th year? He's not going to, I mean, he still runs, but he's just not, you get banged up, like you're saying, his yards per carry are going down every year. The last looks like 3 or 4, mm-hmm. Eventually it's going to be the time where it's like, okay, well, can you really sit in the pocket and throw? And if you have to get outside, you know, you can sling it. But, Cam's one of those guys. I think I was, you know, wasn't surprised that you had, Derek Carr a little bit, you know, moving up or down too, because those, you know, they're very talented, Dan, but what are you really getting from them, like on a day-to-day or a game-to-game basis as far as getting wins and having success? You know, we're in this fantasy football mantra of the way we watch NFL, and you know, maybe some of my ratings are based off that because I'm a huge fantasy football nerd. Like, I remember Cam Newton being a rookie and coming in and just dominating the league. But I also remember there's, you know, seasons where he's had 6 wins, 5 wins, and he's thrown, you know, a bunch of interceptions and fumbled the ball and, you know, kind of lost his cool a little bit. But I mean, that's the kind of way I was trying to just take it as straight skill set. But, you know, a healthy Cam Newton, I'm taking every day over like a Mitchell Trubisky, every day over a Dak Prescott, because Dak Prescott to me is like a poor man's Cam Newton. So, I guess that'll get us into our top fives. Obviously we're gonna have some differentiating things here, but a few of them, it seems like we're gonna have very similar, you know, similar things, 1 through 5. So my fifth one is Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
Again, Kirk, I think, is at his peak of how good he's going to be. He's a 500 quarterback, never should have been paid what he was paid for the Vikings. I mean, I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit and watch, see if it really works out. And, you know, you still have to, you know, I think the jury's still out, but the talent that Kirk Cousins has, I think, is he had talent before he had the two great receivers he has, and it's only made him a little bit better. So I think he's my fifth one. Fourth, I have Cam Newton. I'll go with my fourth, and you can obviously rattle yours off here. So I got Cam at four. I've already talked about a bunch about him. I think end of the day, Cam's ceiling is extremely high compared to a lot of the guys I've already listed. But who's your fifth and fourth, Dan?
So at five, I have Carson Wentz at number five. I think maybe I put a little too much stock into health and injury, or at least maybe a little bit more than you did, because I think Carson Wentz is very talented. And I think, obviously you go back to that year that they won the Super Bowl, obviously did it without him after that ACL injury that derailed what you could probably call an MVP season. You know, but at this point he comes back from the ACL injury. He misses time again last year after the back injury, and you know, and maybe you can throw some of that, the middling success he had last year, to the controversy of Nick Foles being there. And you know, I mean, how good was he really, because he has Nick Foles breathing down his neck every time he does something wrong. So I think there's an argument to be made for that, but I mean, with just the success that I saw in a limited scenario, and then you come back from that injury and I didn't really see that again. And then you got injured a second time, and not just injured a second time, but a back injury. So now it's the knee and the back, which, you know, outside of your arm are probably the two biggest things that a quarterback has to deal with injury wise over their career. So for me, I think we've kind of reached the peak of what Carson Wentz can be. Which is right about there. At four, I actually have Dak Prescott at number four. And for me, maybe it's again the injury thing. He seemed to kind of like stay healthier than a lot of the other quarterbacks, and that's probably to do with offensive line play. You know, he plays with a great offensive line. He plays with the great weapons. Has a decent running back that keeps the pressure off of him. But I really do think that he's a fairly decent quarterback and can play in a system that isn't just built around him, or, you know, making plays with his legs. I think that he can make the throws if he needs to. Honestly, if guys like Newton and Carson Wentz aren't dealing with these sort of nagging injuries every single year, I put them above Dak Prescott talent-wise, but just because Dak Prescott has the talent and has been able to stay, you know, healthy for most of his career, that's why I put him above those two. So we've got a little bit of a disagreement there.
I had forgot you hadn't rattled off Dak, and like now I'm looking at his like stuff, and it's like, yeah, you know, I can see the argument for him. I don't see how, like, in his current situation, his talent, like, I feel like he's like at his peak. You know what I'm saying? Like, he really hasn't had many injuries. He's, you know, had these years where he's like, you know, rattling off 10 wins, and he's got good numbers. Don't get me wrong. I mean, 13 wins his rookie year. And, you know, I mean, the touchdowns are kind of low as far as, you know, being an elite quarterback. I just don't see those. The measure, like, as far as the stats, I guess, aren't great. And again, maybe that's on the fantasy football dude. But like his wins, like he's 32-16. Like that's damn good. Like that's really good.
Honestly, I think maybe it speaks more for who the Packers are playing quarterback wise this year, because with the bottom six or the bottom five of, you know, we had Stafford, Trubisky, Haskins, and Garoppolo. So right there, you're pretty much guaranteed to be ranked six or higher if you're not one of those players.
That's a good
and
point.
So from there, you know, I don't think you would put Matt Stafford in a, you know, category above any of those players. So if you want to put him six right there, well, now you're basically guaranteed a top six and above, depending on where you want to throw him. And so, you know, I think it's just we kind of value the different aspects of their career or where their ceilings are, differently at mm-hmm. this point.
For sure.
So I think if we're going to do it this way, let's go. We'll give our 3 and 2, and then we'll both kind of do our ones at the end.
Okay.
And reveal it that way. So at number 3, I actually put Kirk Cousins, and I think again it kind of falls in the Dak Prescott category. I think he's a pretty decent quarterback. And I think last year really didn't show what he can do. I think a lot of that had to do with an offensive line that was basically tissue paper and he really couldn't make anything happen. But when he's in a system that gives him the time to make things work, and I'm not saying that that's going to be this year, I'm saying that if he has the time to make throws that any decent quarterback needs to do his job, I think Kirk Cousins is pretty damn good at it and can make the throws. I mean, you saw the throw he made to Adam Thielen in week 2 to send the game basically to overtime. I mean, that's an Aaron Rodgers type throw to thread the needle in there like that. In that kind of situation, that's a big time throw for the guy. And I think that he's proven time and time again he can do that. I agree with you. I don't think he's worth the money that they paid for him, especially not guaranteed. But that's where I put him. And so at number 2, and I think this is going to decide whether or not you or I differ at the top, I put number 2 Patrick Mahomes because obviously what he did last year was absolutely bonkers. It made me fall in love with him, and I really like watching him play. And I think he'll give the Packers a lot of trouble. I think he does have a bit of a sophomore slump this year, because I think that's just very natural for any quarterback to kind of have.
You don't think he's going to go into the 50s again with touchdowns, Dan?
Yeah.
I would hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Crazy. I mean, like obviously he's not going to have the same year he had last year. And I think, too, you've got a whole, and that's kind of the cliche, but you have a whole year of tape on him now.
Exactly.
And so, teams can start to game plan around it. And I think Andy Reid has the tendency to fall into that complacency trap of sticking with what worked. And so I just worried that that's going to kind of limit what Patrick Mahomes does in his sophomore year. So that's why I put him at number 2.
That's fair.
What about yours?
I have Wentz at 3. I think, again, it's, the injury thing, you're playing a little bit more into it, where I'm just kind of like, he's young. He's going to figure it out. I think a lot of it had to do with Nick Foles too. Maybe he tried to come back and prove, that he was the guy and not Nick. I mean, I really wasn't sure how that was going to play out, in all honesty. I mean, there's certain things I'll look at in the NFL and be like, okay, this is how it's going to be. Carson Wentz is going to be the guy. Nick Foles is going to be the backup. Then he wins a Super Bowl, and, it kind of even got even stickier even after that. And thankfully, for Carson Wentz's career, Nick Foles found a different job down in Jacksonville. But I think Carson Wentz is a really good football player. Injuries have definitely nagged him throughout his career. Like you said, the back and the knee. I thought he came back well after the knee injury. And then it's just like, just one thing leads to another. But I really do like Carson Wentz. He's my number 3. My number 2 is Philip Rivers. I love Phil. Like, I think he's great, but I've never seen Philip Rivers like win a big game. And I thought last year really was going to be the year where they put him over the hump, and they had all this talent, on the defense and on the offense. And it was stacked. And he just doesn't seem like everyone knows like the Philip Rivers that just is going ballistic. Like after a bad call, maybe on a third down and his team has to get off the field, and he rips his helmet off and he's jawing with the referee. And like, sometimes I feel like that's good, that he's like intense and his competitor, but like sometimes like he loses his cool and like he just can't hold it together. So I mean, I think Philip is, the Packers are gonna have a tough time. Like let's be honest. Like when they play Philip Rivers, it's not gonna be pretty. I mean, they're probably gonna get torched. Luckily it's also in Los Angeles, so, and they gotta travel. It's a 3:30 game. Like I just, coming off of a Chiefs game in week 8, they're going to have some trouble with Philip, but he's my number 2. And obviously, yeah, we can kind of – we could debate this for a while, honestly. Right?
I mean, well, let's jump into it. I mean, you've got Mahomes then at number 1. Right. I've got Rivers at number one, so we flip-flop our ones and twos. And so give me the case for Mahomes at number one then.
I think Mahomes, talent-wise, I mean, you talk about his arm strength, it's next to none. Accuracy, I don't think is really an issue. I mean, he was 66% last year. That's going to only go up. You know, for career, that's under what Phillip Rivers has done. You know, only turned the ball over 12 times in the air. Like, I statistically, is he going to throw for 5,000 and 50 touchdowns again? Probably not. More than likely, when you guys listen to the podcast, well, no. Yeah, actually, when you'll be listening to this on Tuesday, Tyreek Hill will be, like, in a meeting with Chiefs staff. Like, if Tyreek Hill is suspended for, I mean, it could be the full year, if not a lifetime ban or 4 weeks, wherever it is, like, that's going to affect his numbers. But you're definitely going to see a regression in the stats, like I said. But I just think, like, that's his first year. Like, there's so much to build off. Andy is Andy Reid. Like, that's only going to develop his skills more. And it's tough to really, like, the problem I was having, Dan, doing this is, like, you look at a player and you're like, okay, he's really, really good. Oh, but he gets to throw to these two really good receivers. Oh, but he's got this really bad offensive line, so I put him down. Oh, but he had this, like, bad run game, or like a, oh, he's on his third coach in 5 years. Like, that was the difficulty I was having. And I just look straight talent. Like, Patrick Mahomes is better than Phillip Rivers, in my opinion. I think Phillip is, you know, he's still kind of pulling that Tom Brady where it's like, he's going to keep playing until the wheels fall off. And I really thought this past year was going to be it. And, you know, it didn't happen. They also draft a quarterback too. So I don't know. Like, what's your case for Rivers, though? That's really what I'm interested in.
So my case for Phillip Rivers, and I won't dismiss anything you said about Mahomes, because yeah, I think the ceiling is incredibly high for Patrick Mahomes. But with it next year and the talent wise next year, I haven't seen Patrick Mahomes do it without those speedy guys in the system that they have, because that system really worked, because you had two of the fastest, most dynamic players in Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill, you know, making that work. I just haven't seen Patrick Mahomes have to try and make that work without them, or without players of that caliber. Phillip Rivers, I've seen do his best to make it work without that elite kind of talent, or at least I should say, at least that scheme, because he's had an incredible amount of talent over his career. Obviously, Antonio Gates, LaDainian Tomlinson, Keenan Allen and Melvin Gordon, the past couple of years. But I think Phillip Rivers has just that more traditional. I've seen Phillip Rivers make the throws and make the plays with lesser talent. And so I know what I'm getting out of Phillip Rivers. And it's really, I think it's big. I think he's Big Ben without the Super Bowl ring. You know, which I think
that's not a bad comparison.
Right. I mean, like they kind of have the same skill set. They have the same body type. They play the same kind of way, you know, and maybe I just feel bad for Phillip Rivers because he's never gotten to that point. It just, The joke always is that Phillip Rivers in every single game will be down 4 points with 4 minutes left to go and have to drive the ball 80 yards to score a game-winning touchdown. He is always in that situation. And like it's like every single week he's having to overcome, you know, I think just more situations than other teams or other quarterbacks kind of have to. And so I think his talent gets negated a little bit by that. But I think if you put him on different teams, or, you know, in different situations, or even if just things in his career break a different kind of way, he has that same kind of, you know, accolades that other quarterbacks have. And so for me, Phillip Rivers, I've always loved him. I think he's, out of everyone that's on this list, he's the veteran quarterback that I would trust the most in any variety of situation in the game, whether it be, you know, up 28 points or down 1 point to, you know, with 20 yards to go or whatever it is. You know, like whatever situation is, I trust Phillip Rivers the most. And then also, if we're just making the quarterbacks that the Packers have to face, Phillip Rivers always, I mean, comes out and balls against the Packers. I mean, you know, the last time it was really a diving play made. I forget who made the play. I think it was Micah Hyde, or it might have even been Quentin Rollins.
I think it was Rollins. And it was like, wasn't they throwing to Keenan Allen, like at the pylon, something like that?
At the pylon, it makes, you know, a tremendous save on fourth down to save the game. And then I think before that, they might have gone to overtime, or it was close at the end. They won on the last second field goal. I don't remember. But the last two times, at least, Phillip Rivers always balls out against the Packers. And now he gets them in LA on the week the Packers come off the Chiefs. They have to go cross country, the late game. If it's situation, I think Phillip Rivers is one of the toughest ones, and then you throw in what he brings, I think that makes him number one. But I will say the case for Mahomes, I will not knock a case for Patrick Mahomes as number one on the list.
Now I'm thinking, like, I agree with that Rivers being the like, who do you want with the ball late? Like, right. I don't think that's a bad way to look at it. Like, who's your second guy on this list then, just for fun? Because I'm looking through mine while you're saying this, and I really.
If we're like, who would you want with the ball?
Yes.
Honestly, I would almost go Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
Just because, again, if that's the question, if it's not who I think the toughest player the Packers are going to play is, it's who I want the ball with, then I think Cousins just gets knocked up a touch over Mahomes because, again, I've seen Kirk Cousins do it in different systems. If that makes sense.
No, he was one of the few I would pick. Honestly, I think maybe Dak, like, even though I have him ranked at 9, I know it's extreme, but, like, just the way that offense runs and moves and the way he's, like, you know, again, end of the year last year in the playoffs, like, he proved a lot to me. And he's not ever too crazy with the ball. He's consistent. And, again, now it's going back to, you know, he's got a good run game, yada, yada. But I think he's a smart football player. Yeah, I'd throw Kirk up there too, though. I think Kirk can do that, and he's got weapons you can throw the ball to. But Kirk's a veteran. Again, there's a couple other guys on the list that, you know, haven't really, you know, they're in their first couple years of their careers. You don't really know what you're going to get. They're maybe a little bit errant with the ball. Plus, they're like be a mobile quarterback who's going to throw the ball more and maybe take more risks with their legs. So, no, that's fair.
Yeah. So that is our top 10. List. The beauty about top 10 list is every single person that has their own top list is correct, and every other person is completely wrong. And so we'd love to hear what you think about it. Who are your top 10? Is Phillip Rivers elite? Yes, maybe no. Let us know what you think about all of this. And this is just the kickoff to what we're doing here on the Pack a Day podcast the next couple of weeks. As we get closer and closer to real live training camp and the start of the preseason, breaking down all of the different position groups as we go forward, 1 through 10. And so tomorrow, make sure you stick around for Nick, Maggie, and Paul. They're going to break down the top 10 running backs that the Packers are going to face in 2019, and then it just goes straight down the line from there, taking a look at all the different position groups the Packers are going to be looking at. We're going to be breaking down schedules. We're going to be breaking down, obviously, the Packers position groups. So that's all coming down the pike on the Pack a Day podcast. So make sure you follow us on Twitter. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter. You're subscribing, rate, review the podcast. It helps us a big time, especially with our switch over to Anchor. A lot of big things happening with the podcast, Matt. I'm excited for what we've got coming up. So make sure you follow us at Pack a Day Podcast. Follow me and Matt. Let us know directly what you think of us and our list. I'm at DK All the Way on Twitter. Matt, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Matt_Frey_. That's at Matt_FRA_. I feel like I'm going to get, you know, some backlash from some of my buddies, like saying how Derek Carr is maybe the sixth best quarterback, or like I just feel I can. It's gonna happen. Like I already know. Like I have like five guys in my head that I know they're good buddies of mine. I just feel like they're. I'm just gonna get a little trolled.
Oh tomorrow. Yeah, that I mean, and that's where that's or where today. It all that's where it all comes yeah, from yeah. In the top 10 list. I mean, look at the NFL top 10 show that they have. You know, and then they do the top 10s, and everyone's arguing with each other about who is where and who's higher or lower on the list. And that's the absolute beauty of these top 10 lists. I think, yeah,
it's great. I love it. And they can also like too. Like they can like us on Facebook. You were trying to figure out where you can like. I mean, review like Facebook's good, but we do most of our damage on Twitter and obviously on the iTunes and Spotify's. But yeah, we're only growing, Dan. We're not even a full year into this.
Could you say that we're the Patrick Mahomes of Packers podcasts?
Whoa! That's
is that the hottest take yeah, that we've had here? That.
It's a pretty hot take. It's extremely hot. Yeah, no, it's definitely room temp. No, exactly. I like it.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us today. Like I said, make sure you stick around the next couple of days and moving through the rest of the season, the rest of the off season with us. So for Janelle, we'll give her one together, but we'll finish off the podcast as we always do with the three best words, and that is go, Pack, go.